Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Deuteronomy 28, and I believe it is a significant chapter in understanding what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's begin to take it in as they are on this side of the desert, and Moses is forecasting the commitment that they are to have to the law, the Mosaic law, the law given to Moses on Mount Sinai, the laws of the Lord. The first five books of the Bible, that they would obey what they have been taught through Moses coming from God, and that if they do, they'll be blessed. And if they turn away and forsake the law and forsake God in doing so, that they will be cursed. That's essentially what Deuteronomy 28 is. Let's take it in now. Now it shall be, if you diligently, by the way, obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. So he was trying to gather a community of people that would be holy to him and obey him and be in unity with him and be his family, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the offspring of your body and in the offspring of your beast and in the produce of your ground and in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouses, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will only will be above, and you will not be underneath, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy talk about how God wants to bless his family. And, you know, God desired to bless his family Israel, and that then they would be a blessing upon the nations around them, going back to the original covenant that God began to make with Abraham back in chapter 12 and chapter 15, to multiply his family and to bless them so that they shall be a blessing. And here he is reiterating, as they are about to go into the promised land, that if when you get there, if you obey me, if you'll follow me, you won't follow after other gods, if you'll follow this old covenant, this Mosaic covenant that I've given you, you're going to be blessed. But he warns them ahead of time what's going to happen if they do not. And let's take that in, and then I'm going to summarize the teaching. And this is very significant today. Let's take it in now, verse 15. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat and with the sword and with blight and with mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. The heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. So God is warning them ahead of time that if they're going to disobey, it's not going to go well. The Lord shall cause you to be defeated before your enemies, and you will go out one way against them, but you will flee seven ways before them. And you will be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses will be food to all the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and with the tumors and with the scab and the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart. And you will grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness, and you will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually with none to save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man will violate her. You shall build a house, but you will not live in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you will not use its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Your donkey will be torn away from you and will not be restored to you. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and you will have none to save you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and yearn for them continually, but there will be nothing you can do. A people whom you do not know shall eat up the produce of your ground and all your labors, and you will never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually, but you shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and the legs with sore boils, from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king, whom you set over you, to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. You shall become a horror, a proverb, and a taunt among all the people where the Lord drives you. This is really quite remarkable, and we're not finished with this chapter. It is quite a lengthy one, and God is forewarning them of the destruction that's going to come upon them if they don't obey. And you know what's sad is that in Israel's history, in the future they do disobey. They don't honor the Lord. They have a season under Joshua when they take over the promised land where they do pretty well. And you know, David, even though he made a lot of sins, he was a man after God's own heart. And although he was far from perfect, he did end up ushering in, then with his son Solomon, a really special time in Israel's history where God did indeed bless them. But Solomon ended up having wives and concubines and getting away from honoring God. And when he died and his two sons took over after him, they were at war with each other. The kingdom became divided, and Israel started a significant decline in their history and in their history of following God. The northern 10 tribes never really obeyed God again. The two southern tribes had at times seasons of history in Jerusalem and to the south where they would have kings that would honor the Lord, only to be followed by kings who would usher in all kinds of false worship. So ultimately, both the northern and southern kingdom, now Israel, divided because of their sinfulness. They forsook God and worshiped false gods and did all that they were not to do. You know, there's a story that, you know, eventually we'll get to in as we go through the whole Bible here, where a king by the name of Josiah, one of his servants found the Bible, the Old Testament scrolls, in the temple treasury. They were being stored there, meaning they weren't even looking at them. Like, they weren't following the word of God at all. Like, time had gone on, wicked kings had been in charge, and they weren't, I mean, it was like totally lost from the land. And then Josiah's servant found the Old Testament scrolls in the temple, and he came out and read them, and Josiah tore his clothes and said, "Oh my goodness, we've totally forsook God. We need to get back to following him." And he tried to do reforms and did do reforms, but in God's eyes, it was already too late. They had failed to follow God, and they were going to be destroyed, just as God is saying in this chapter. And then, two different armies came in, first the Assyrian Empire and then the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar, and took over the promised land. Ultimately, it was King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians that invaded the southern kingdom, which lasted longer, probably because at times they got things right. But then even that kingdom was destroyed, and the Jerusalem was destroyed, and they got deported to Babylon. And God, in his great mercy, later on in biblical history, allowed people to come back, although it wasn't their country anymore. They never again had a country, by the way, not until 1948, when Israel came back into its land, which is quite remarkable that we had a country that wasn't a country government-wise. They didn't control the land for, thousands of years, and then now they got back to their land, and you see Israel in the land today, but still having its enemies around it. But it's quite a remarkable story in that way. God still has future plans, as we read in the Bible, for that land and for those people, but they need to come to Jesus. You need to recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior. So this is God's forewarning, and it just shows the waywardness of God's people, that despite them having the written warning of God as to what they were to do and not to do, mankind, with its sinful Adamic sin problem from Adam that didn't get cured in the days of Noah, or after the days of Noah, they still fell away from God. Let's continue finishing out the chapter, and then I have some significant things to say about the new covenant and about Jesus. So let's continue verse 38. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you will gather in little, for the locust will consume it. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you will neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm will devour them. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you will not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives will drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they will not be yours, for they will go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce of your ground. The alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you will go down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you will be the tail. You might recall that, all of this is the opposite of the blessings that were mentioned. However, there's much longer content here to the cursing than there was the blessing. I believe the blessing was 14 verses, and here we are in verse 44. So we've gone 30 verses of the cursing, God's wanting them to know what's going to happen if they disobey. Verse 45, so all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. They shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. We should have, right? We should have worshiped God with joy. I mean, think of how he brought them out of Egypt and provided for them and parted the sea, and then he's going to give them the promised land. And yet, even despite the blessings of God and the miracles God that he did, people tend to turn away. And, that's the same today, isn't it? I mean, think about it. God's done all this stuff throughout history. It's all recorded in his book. But most of the world is living as though God is not even real, and they don't even know what God has done. So that's the same kind of turning away that's happened now. Then it's a part of our world now. People are forsaking God and haven't even turned to him or his son, Jesus Christ. Verse 48, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things. And he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose languages you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance who will have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. Moreover, it shall eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed, who also leaves you no grain, new wine or oil, nor the increase of your herd or the young or your flock until they have caused you to perish. This very well, is foretelling of the destruction of this, of largely the Babylonian Empire, but maybe even in conjunction with the Syrian Empire that came in before that. It shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted instead of trusting in God come down throughout your land, and it shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land which the Lord your God has given you. Then you shall eat the offspring of your own body, how sad is that, and the flesh of your sons and of your daughters whom the Lord your God has given you during the siege and the distress by which your enemy will oppress you. I do believe there's some historical evidence that that happened when people were starving in Jerusalem at the besiege when their enemies came in. The man who is refined and very delicate among you shall be hostile toward his brother and toward the wife he cherishes and toward the rest of his children who remain, so that he will not give even one of them any of the flesh of his children, which he will eat since he has nothing else left. I know this is kind of hard to take in, all this cursing, but I encourage you to go through it with me to the end and then see what Jesus Christ has done. See the good news that we have today. So that he will not even give one of them the flesh of his own children, which he will eat since he has nothing else left during the siege and the distress by which your enemies will oppress you in all your towns. The refined and delicate women among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground for delicateness and refinement shall be hostile toward the husband she cherishes and toward her son and daughter. Apparently, you know, just the horrific conditions of the situation is going to really bring about what's not good in mankind. And toward her afterbirth, which issues from between her legs, and toward her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for lack of anything else during the siege and the distress by which your enemy will oppress you in your towns. Verse 58, if you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. He will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Also every sickness and every plague which not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed. Then you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, just as he promised Abraham, because you did not obey the Lord your God. That's why you're going to become few. It shall become about that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so that the Lord will delight over you to make, just as he delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you. And you will be torn from the land where you are entering to possess it. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all the peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you or your own fathers have not known. Among those nations you will find no rest, and there will be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, falling eyes, and despair of soul. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you will be in dread night and day, and shall have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, would that it were evening, meaning you just want the day to be over. And at evening you shall say, would that it were the morning, because of the dread of your heart which you dread, and for the sight of your eyes which you see. The Lord will bring you back to Egypt in ships by the way about which I spoke to you, and you will never see it again. And there you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. Well, as if it's sad that they won't even be able to become slaves because there is no buyer. So, wow, that is a lot to take in. The blessings and curses of the old covenant. God is the author of life. He's the creator of life. He's the creator of mankind. And he wanted to create a community of peoples that would honor and obey him and love him. And he'd create this beautiful community, but it was contingent upon them obeying him. And he's letting them know ahead of time that if they disobey, everything that I tried starting isn't going to work out. Just as it kind of did with Adam after he got kicked out of the garden. And then in the days of Noah, everyone was corrupt all the time. And God saw the corruption of the earth, and that their only thought and inclination of their heart was only evil all the time. And he flooded the earth and started over through Noah. And sadly, mankind just has this problem with sin, this struggle with sin. And as a result, they become under the curse of the law because they cannot and do not live up to God's commandments. So then they end up being cursed because of the fact that they disobey God. Now, what's really interesting as we move forward, if we went to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah promised that one day there would be a new covenant. You might recall this. I'm going to make a new covenant, not like the covenant that I made with them when they came out of Egypt, the one that they broke. You might recall that Jeremiah said. Let me turn there and just read it straight from the Word of God. All right, here it is. Jeremiah 31, verse 27. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast, as I have watched over them to pluck, to break down, to overthrow, destroy, and to bring disaster. So I will watch over them to build up, to plant, declares the Lord. So he's got a future hope for them. In those days, they will not say again, their fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, but everyone will die for his own iniquity. And each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. Now, verse 31, probably could have started here. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. So this is what we've been talking about. They broke that covenant, but God's going to make a new one day. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and on their heart, and I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Now listen to this. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Hallelujah. Now this is the promise of the new covenant. It's going to be a new agreement that God's going to make, and it's not going to be the old covenant that we just read, the covenant of blessings and curses, because they were under this curse. But in this new covenant, a sacrifice is going to be made, and this sacrifice is going to free us of the consequences of the curse, meaning the curse is no longer going to be on those who enter into the new covenant by faith, and therefore they can walk in the blessing and be the family of God and be forgiven of their sin. Now, this was written, Jeremiah, you know, some 600-ish years before the coming of Jesus. Now, I want to take you to another passage, a couple of them, but we're going to go to Matthew, and let me find it. All right, so here we are in the last night of Jesus' life. By the way, what day is it? It's Passover, and I don't want to get into that whole teaching today. I've taught it many times. You'll hear it if you go through these podcasts with us, but you know, Jesus gets together with his guys on Passover, the same day the blood of the Lamb saved them from Egypt many years ago. And now they are, you know, they sacrificed a lamb and are having a lamb for a meal on Passover. And they're in the upper room, and it's on that special day. And while they were eating, Jesus took some of the bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now, do you remember what Jeremiah said? In this new covenant, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Jesus Christ is ushering in the new covenant, beginning here with the Last Supper and culminating in a couple of things. One, his death in that same day on Good Friday, because when you'd usher in a new covenant, you'd make a sacrifice, just as Moses had a sacrifice and sprinkled the blood when he made the first covenant. Jesus is the sacrifice, the final Lamb of God. He sacrificed himself to usher in the new covenant that was long awaited through Jeremiah to forgive us of our sin of violating or being under the curse of the law because we couldn't live to it. And now Jesus is giving us the new covenant, hallelujah, where our sins are forgiven and remembered no more. And because of that, we can have a relationship with God because we're not under the curse of the law anymore. Now, the absolute fullness of all this is going to come when Jesus brings in the millennial reign and ultimately the New Jerusalem. But it begins now with the church who believed in him, who have the forgiveness of sins. And I want to take you to one other passage, and I hope you have stuck with us all the way till now, because this is really important what we're about to see right now. So let me pick this up. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up in verse 6, and we're going to read through at least verse 14, maybe further, but picking it up in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. So remember, even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Do you remember that? That Abraham was made right by faith before there ever was a law because he believed in the promise of God? Verse 7, therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. See, now if you have faith in Jesus, you get grafted into the family of Abraham and the righteousness that came by faith before there ever was a law, because Abraham was made right by faith before the Mosaic law ever came into fruition. So in a sense, those who have faith in Jesus go back to the blessing of being part of God's family through Abraham before there ever was the blessings and curses of the Old Testament law, which they were unable to follow. Let's keep going. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, the nations, that's us, by faith, just as Abraham had faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, that is before the law, he preached the gospel before the law to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. See, and now anyone can come to faith in Jesus. Anyone can be saved from the curse of the law. Anyone can become part of the family of God, Abraham's family, through faith in Jesus, through faith in him. That's how we become part of God's family. So then, those who are of faith are blessed. See, we are now under the blessing, not the cursing. Those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. As Abraham believed, and now as we believe in Jesus, we fall into the blessing of God's family, and we're no longer under the curse of the law because Jesus Christ died to save us from that curse. That's what we're about to see. Verse 10, hallelujah. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. See, if you try to follow God through following the law, you'd be cursed because just like the Old Testament people couldn't live up to it, neither could we. We struggle in living up to the perfection under the law. And here's what it says in verse 10. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. So when the law came, if you disobeyed it, you'd be under its curse. But now something's happened to set us free from that curse. Hallelujah. Now that no one is justified by the law before the law Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. Like you can't go back. And even as they struggle to obey the law, you can't go back to trying to follow God through the law and think you're going to be made right. It's not going to work. And now he's going to quote in Galatians here, an Old Testament passage, the righteous man shall live by faith. And that's what's important today, is that you have faith in Jesus. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Meaning if you're going to try to get to God through the law, you better practice and do it perfect. But listen to what it says. Hallelujah. This is where we've been headed all day. Christ redeemed us. Christ paid the price. We were under the penalty of the law, but a price had to be paid to set us free from the curse of the law. And Christ paid that price in his life. He gave his life to pay the price to redeem us from the consequence of not living to the law, to free us from the curses of the law so that we could be forgiven and become part of the family of God. Listen to this. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Jesus Christ went up on that cross and took our curse. He took our penalty for our disobedience of living up to the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles or to the nations, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ went up on that cross. He ushered in the new covenant where there's the forgiveness of sins. He took the curse of the law upon himself so that we wouldn't have to be under the curse. And he ushered us back into Abraham's family. And just as Abraham was made right by faith and given righteousness by faith, now when we believe in Jesus, we are seen righteous before God, forgiven by God, because we have faith in Jesus Christ. He paid our penalty. He took our curse. And now we're under the blessing. Church, you're under the blessing of being part of the family of God, and you're not under the curse anymore. And we should be so overwhelmingly grateful that Jesus Christ paid the price and paid the curse for us, took the curse upon himself, that now we live to obey God because we want to thank him. We live to please him because of what he has done for us. Hallelujah. There was a reward, I believe, hallelujah, in you sticking out the blessings and curses of Deuteronomy 28 to get to the unbelievably good news that Jesus Christ died to forgive you of everything you've done. Now place your faith in him. Live for him. Live to honor him. Hallelujah. Because you have been forgiven and the curse has been removed. And you know, today I want to say this. In this day and age and all the way until we get to the New Jerusalem one day in God's future dispensations, people are still under the curse. So if you haven't accepted Jesus, you're still under the curse. You have to believe in him to have him take your penalty for you. And that's going to exist until one day, as it says in the very last chapter of the Bible, that the curse is, there's no longer any curse. It's completely gone, because those who are going to be in the New Jerusalem and are all going to be God's family, and no one's going to be under the curse anymore. But today, people are still under the curse. Until you accept Jesus. So believe in Jesus, believe upon him, get grafted into the family of God, get your sins forgiven, allow Jesus to take the curse. He wants to take it for you. Hallelujah. What a great God we have. What great forgiveness we have. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are now part of the family of God, forgiven. What gratefulness fills our hearts for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.